The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show. This is October 10th, 2015, and we are live in studio this morning. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And I'm here in a full studio with Jim Saulnier, who's normally with us, also a certified financial planner. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
We have Peter Scott as well.
Good morning.
Our resident estate planning attorney. And we have a fabulous guest today, as we talked about last week, Jan Lord, who's also an attorney specializing in elder care, Medicare, Medicaid issues.
Estate planning, elder law work, yes.
All that kind of.
Good morning and thanks.
Sure. Thanks for being here. So like I said, we are live this morning on the Retirement and IRA Show, so that means we are taking calls. And I'll give the phone number out right away in case you have a burning topic you'd like us to cover, 970-353-1310 would be the number to call to get in, or toll-free if you're out of our area, 877-353-1310.
And we can email. Got the iPad fired up.
We've got the iPad fired up. So alternatively, if you can't call or would prefer to send in a question for us to cover via email, that email address would be jim at jimhelps.com. That's Jim at Jim, H-E-L-P-S, helps.com. We have to clarify that because
somebody tried Kelps.
Jim at Jim Kelps.
Right, that didn't
does
work.
Not work.
Right.
We never received
We've
that.
We've proven that.
We have proven that that doesn't work. So,
still don't know what Kelps would be.
Well, it's the plural of kelp.
Yeah, that's many,
kelp
many
being
kelp.
the ocean dwelling plant.
Interesting. But anyways, it's been a very long time since we've been here. It's because I've been gone. And then we had Jan on the show last week, pre-recorded, but talking about Medicaid planning and issues that elders can come up with. So it feels kind of odd, a little cozy in here today, too. We've
it's
got
very cozy.
Full,
we don't
full
have
table.
Four.
Yeah, right. Full table. And we do want to let our listeners know, anybody who has any questions from all the items that Jan covered last week. And Jan, why don't you just briefly explain some of the questions you're here to answer if any of our listeners have them?
Well, typically the client who seeks us out and seeks our help out is looking for assistance in how to pay for long-term care, keeping the elder in a safe environment, whether that's at home or in an assisted living or a full-skilled nursing facility, but also accomplish what this greatest generation, the 70, 80, 90-year-olds, have as a principle of their lives, which is to leave something for their families, leave something for their kids. So what it boils down to is how can we provide the care that's needed, but also accomplish a goal of leaving something for the kids and not going broke paying for the long-term care.
Okay. So if anybody has any questions on elder law, Medicare, Medicaid, how they work, how to navigate them, and of course, we are here, Chris and I, to answer any questions on Social Security, IRAs, 401ks, and retirement. And Pete, you're here to answer general estate planning questions.
I am, and Jan's very capable of answering those questions also, so you get two for the price of one.
Right. We have a lot of estate planning power in in the studio this morning.
Yeah, it's feeling very muscular in the state planning area.
So if anybody has questions on wills, trusts, durable power of attorneys for property, durable power of attorneys for medical, HIPAA, which we now know is spelled H-I-P-A-A.
You're absolutely correct.
As one listener pointed out to us, when someone who shall remain nameless got the wrong acronym, spelling of it.
And no, it's an acronym.
No, is it an acronym?
Yes.
Because the other one is called?
Initialism.
Initialism. Mm-hmm. Yes. We learned. Did you know about initialism, Jan?
I do not know about initialism.
Oh, you apparently don't live into the show very much.
I am a newcomer, but a devoted fan.
Well, we found that a word like a word. HIPAA mm-hmm. that is pronounced is an acronym.
It's the initials of a series of words. In this case,
that is
Pete,
pronounced.
It's health.
Health insurance, privacy, affordability, and
Act.
Health insurance, portability, and accountability act.
Thank you, Peter.
There we go.
That's tried to help.
So there's the and then we take the first letter of each of those words, and then we pronounce them as its own word. HIPAA. That's an acronym. So HIPAA is an acronym.
But FBI.
FBI as well.
Or IRA.
Or IRA, although some people pronounce it IRA.
Some say IRA, yeah, I know. Yeah,
but so. FBI, because we don't pronounce FIBI,
right.
Then that's an initialism.
Correct.
And we learned that on the show.
Practically everyone refers
to
both
that.
As acronyms.
Yeah.
But technically, if you don't pronounce it,
it's an initialism.
If you're just stating the first letter of each of the words, it's an initialism.
This is so educational.
Oh, it's just fabulous.
I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm beside myself.
She's silent over there. She's just speechless.
Well, what? Apparently so are our listeners, since we don't have
exactly.
any calls yet.
One other benefit mm-hmm. that I do provide some assistance with and am accredited to do so is with the Veterans Administration, VA.
Oh.
Is that acronym mm-hmm. or initialism?
That would be initialism.
Thank you.
Initialism, because you don't say the va.
Va. No, who says va? Is the
German people?
I've got to keep my focus here.
Don't be distracted. It's a trick.
The VA offers a pension benefit for veterans who may not have been injured during wartime. And the pension benefit has financial as well as a kind of a medical requirement. It's a limited benefit, but that's also something that's available to help offset the costs of long-term care for qualifying veterans or their widows or widowers.
So if we have any veterans out there who would like information on that, you can also call today's show and we can address that as well. Chris, why don't you tell us our phone number one more time?
It is 970-353-1310 or toll-free 877-353-1310.
And, of course, Jim at Jim Helps. For those of you who don't want to call the show, maybe you don't want to talk live on the radio, but you know how to use email. So you can send an email to Jim at Jim Helps. We'll read the email over the radio. Of course, we'll keep your privacy. We won't even mention your name.
Well, we'll call him George.
We'll call him George, right. Everyone's George. Right. And we'll address that. But it looks like we do have the first caller
We have our first caller. So we have Rick on the line from Greeley. Good morning, Rick, thank you very much for calling the show.
Oh, you're very welcome.
What can we do for you today?
Well, my question is maybe a little out of your scope. I'm not sure. I'm sure you have the knowledge, whether it's part of the show's scope.
If we don't know, we'll just make it up.
Okay.
And and later on,
you can call me George, too, if you'd like.
Okay, George.
This edition of the Retirement and IRA Show has been edited to remove content deemed inappropriate for a recording due to its time-sensitive nature.
I do have another question about long-term care, if I may hog the line here for a few more moments.
Well, seeing as we have a total of zero other callers behind you, sure.
Okay, good, good. Thanks.
Well, no, that's not too good.
No.
Well,
good
it
for
is
Rick.
For me, though.
Good for you.
I'm speaking selfishly.
Perfect. Oh, okay.
I have called several times before, and I did win a pie once, but I did not win the last pie.
Oh, so well, not everybody wins.
But you're
in
the running now.
Yeah. Okay, so this question is, I did something really stupid. This was 10 or 12 years ago, but my wife, we're both in retirement age or greater, and or higher, I guess. and she contacted a long-term care person. They came and talked to us for a little bit, and they said, okay, somebody's going to call you and give you a test on the phone. Well, I don't know. I didn't take it seriously, and I purposefully did not answer questions correctly because I didn't.
Right.
I didn't look at the big picture.
And you were so, denied?
Yes.
Okay.
So what happened? I mean, I'm assuming like with car insurance or any other type of, you know, where you're getting help from somebody like that, they're going to ask, have you ever been denied? And if I say yes, they're going to say why, and I'm going to say, well, because I did a stupid thing.
Right. If you need to reapply, what Rick is talking about, people, when you apply for long-term care insurance and you are generally over the age of 55 to 60, it varies by carrier, they are going to give you a phone interview. The phone interview is really designed to test for loss of mental capacity. They're going to ask a lot of medical questions, but what they're really doing is also trying to see how your short-term memory is. And Rick, if you were messing around with them, whether you answered some of the medical questions wrong, or generally they'll give you a list of 10 words and they'll ask you to repeat them or things like that. So if you messed around with that, just screwing with them, then yeah, they're going to fail you because they think perhaps you have a loss of short-term memory. Now, when you reapply, if you were going to try reapplying, I don't know your age, Rick, and you don't have to say it over the phone, but we do offer long-term care in the office, and we have found, and I'm not saying come on to my office to buy any, what I'm trying to do is speak anecdotally here. In our office, we have found just this year alone over, and I don't, Justin has the exact number, but I believe right now we're at about 63% of people 60 and over that we have sent through underwriting have been denied coverage. It is very hard to get coverage. So the older you are, if this happened 12 years ago and now you're 12 years older, especially if you're getting into your 70s, you probably won't get coverage even if you did apply.
Yeah, I'm 65.
So. Okay, so you're still in a sweet spot where you could get coverage at far higher premiums than it would have been in your 50s.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, yes, there is going to be a place on every app, depending on who you write with. Some will say, have you ever been denied coverage in the last 3 years or the last 5 years? Some will say, have you ever been denied coverage ever? It does matter what you write down, but it technically doesn't, because everything that happens to you goes into the MIB, the Medical Information Bureau. That is a bureau run by every insurance company out there. They all belong to it, and they share medical information there. That way, if somebody gets denied coverage on one policy and thinks they're going to apply for another policy and lie, all the information is shared. So they're going to know, even if you write it down or not, what they're doing is testing you on that. If you wrote no, and they're going to find it in the MIB, now they're going to be ticked off. Hey, this guy didn't tell us about it, and we just found it. They're going to deny you coverage. But if you just own up to it, yes, I was denied coverage in my 50s, and then there is always a place on the app for you to explain it. And you could tell them, look, I didn't take it serious back then, and I was messing with the caller, and I'm purposefully screwed up on the 10 words or whatever it is you were joking about. And you may be able to get coverage again. The tough part is going to be your age. We are shocked at the amount of people who are denied for coverage. It makes sense. They only want to cover the best risk in their eyes. But the sweet spot for anybody listening is in your 50s. As you get into your 60s, it can get difficult to get coverage.
And expensive, I'm sure.
Yes, premiums go up the older you are. I'm in my 50s, my early 50s. I will be applying before 55 because I don't want to take the test. I don't want to do the call test.
Because you couldn't pass it?
I could. But anyways, Rick, I'm getting the hard break sign, I think. Am I getting the break sign?
No, I was asking Adrian. We're coming close to a break, but we do have another caller, Frank. So
okay, well,
Rick,
tell you what, I'll release your line, and thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
We've got you entered into October's list for pie drawing, so he's got another chance here. We'll try, before we go to break here, we're going to get to Frank here on the phone from Storm Mountain. Good morning, Frank. Thanks for calling the show.
Good morning.
Storm Mountain, you're up in Drake.
Yes.
Okay.
Drake.
Okay. Yes. I looked at homes up there years ago.
Uh-huh.
Did not move.
I love it. But my questions are, I'm 66 years old. I don't have a government job or work union, so I'm still working. I don't have a will, don't have an estate plan. What type of financial impact is it to set up a will and an estate plan?
Well, Frank, the probably let me answer that the cost question first. It's going to vary by the attorney that you use and the complexity of the plan. You know, I know what we charge, but that is by no means what everyone charges. It's a free market out there, and there are people that will do it for, I think, very low fees. The quality may be an issue, but nonetheless, that's where it starts. You can get, in my experience, at least in our office, they start at about $750 and move up from there, and that would include a will and powers of attorney. And what I would suggest to you, probably the most important document right now or documents right now are powers of attorney, because there's a greater chance of you becoming incapacitated this year. I think it's eight times greater than of you dying this year. So, and we're seeing a lot of people prior to death experiencing periods of incapacity. And without those documents, then you're forced to go to court to have a conservator and guardian appointed to make those decisions for you, and that is very, very expensive. I'm going to let Jan chime in on.
Well, so for a little bit of money, you can minimize the chaos that comes about when perhaps you're just in a car accident, let alone a chronic, you know, long-term type illness like dementia. But for a little bit of money, you can minimize the chaos that comes about under such circumstances, Frank. So I echo what Peter just said, that if you do nothing else, please, please, please get that medical power of attorney in place. Get the financial power of attorney. Sometimes they're called the general durable power of attorney. I'm sure Peter does this too. I always include a discussion about a living will, which has nothing to do with living and is not a will. And then, as you guys were talking about at the top of the show, the use of a HIPAA document so that people who may not be decision makers can still find out which hospital you are in and talk to a care provider. But one other thing I'll just add, Peter, is that even though Frank says he has no will, he really does have a will.
Well, that's
Colorado
true.
Wrote it.
Yeah. Yes, those wise folks under the Gold Dome in Denver wrote your will, Frank, and it's probably not exactly what you want. So the laws of intestacy will kick in if you kick off, I guess.
As long as you're kicking.
Blunt way, yeah, as long as you're kicking.
Or stop kicking.
So the state of Colorado has written your will for you. My guess is that it isn't going to do exactly what you would do if you did it on your own. So I'd step up, take care of, please get those power of attorney documents. And if you're not going to trust the legislators.
Two homes in Denver because you said the smart people.
Did I? Is that what I said?
Oops.
We'll
bleep that out, maybe.
Yeah. Back up the tape.
Frank, does that answer your question, or did you want to follow
up? Yeah, it does. If you'd take me offline for a minute, I'll give you some personal information so I can contact you, or you can contact me.
Okay, well, we'll do that. We'll get
Adrian. And Frank, just for the record, we're under some rules where we can't reach out and contact you, but we're going to give our contact information a little later in the show, or you can go to jimhelps.com and pick it up there.
That's right. Just so people know, and Frank, they're not trying to ignore you, attorneys have certain rules you have to follow. You can't just call people, correct?
Correct. Exactly. We're prohibited. It's called solicitation.
So what we need is a little bit more regulation is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we got plenty on our side, but I think everybody else should have more.
So, Frank, what you can do if you want to reach Pete or Jan, they're going to be given their contact info. Once you contact them, then they have a right to contact you back.
Yeah, we can call back. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Right. Frank, thanks for calling
in.
Thank you. So we are at the bottom of the hour break here coming up. So before we actually take our break. When we come back from this short break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 80 years ago, which was the birth of Social Security the same year in 1935. The hint is, this popular song from 1935 was the first country song by a female artist to sell more than 1 million copies.
I didn't even know they had country music back in 1935.
It sounds a little different than it does today, but I'm surprised that they were able to sell a million back then. That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
That is a lot. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show, and we'll be back with you after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show.
This one of the sold a million hits. Copies.
It did, and it sounds like, you know, I was surprised how modern that sound.
Well, you know,
that's that, country music for
well,
me.
Well, you know, we used to, I can remember that those, the country songs way back, it was not 80 years ago, obviously, that I was kicking around, but there was a lot of yodeling in the songs. That was very popular for a long time, and that was part of the country genre. For the music. And So
would anyone like to take a guess as to the title of that song?
I Want to Be a Cowboy.
Close.
I Want to Be a Yodeler?
No.
I Want to Be a Cowgirl.
No. I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart.
Ooh, even better.
By Patsy Montana.
Really? That's a nice country.
That is definitely
is that
a
Hannah
stage
Montana's
name.
Mom, maybe?
No, that's a stage name.
No. Well, no, it might have been Joe Montana's mother.
Grandmother?
Grandmother, yeah.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from Joe.
Oh, wait. That's not the whole time. It's Patsy Montana and the Prairie Ramblers.
Oh, there we go.
Patsy Montana was a performance name. Her real name was Ruby Blevins.
Yeah, she's better off with Patsy Montana. Yeah.
Patsy developed this song based on the Stuart Hamblin Western song, Texas Plains. He is therefore credited as a co-writer.
Oh.
Patsy kept many of the original words, but embellished with yodeling.
There we go. Very popular then.
That is an embellishment.
That's fun.
There's not enough yodeling in modern music.
No.
My nephew learned how to yodel and practiced that and teaches it.
Is that like your child practicing the drums?
Well, it was my nephew, so fortunately I didn't have to listen to it. But he would perform now and then around when the family would get together.
My youngest, who's now 7, she's convinced that she wants to play the drums.
Ooh.
That's not an instrument that is brought into our home.
It's not a parent-friendly
I'm not sure it's even technically an instrument, but I'm sure I'll hear from them.
Well, you know,
you're going to be getting these for Christmas,
yeah.
You know.
No.
All the other members of the family will be given this
you
child
drum set. You did buy some
sets.
Very remote rural property up in the mountains. Put the drums
put
there.
The drum set up. Oh, I'm sure the people living up there for the peace and quiet of nature are going to love it when she goes to town on the drum set. So anyway, this is the Retirement and IRA Show, and this is a live show. We're taking calls. We've already taken a couple of calls. We had one call on reverse mortgages with questions, and then another call on basic estate planning documents and, you know, essentially what it would cost to get things set up if you have nothing to start with. Our phone number, if you'd like to ask your own question on any of these topics, as a reminder, we have Jan Lord in here, who is a specialist, or can we use the E word?
We can say specialist.
Or I think he's talking about
expert. The expertise, we have expertise or we emphasize perfect. In our
– The reason why I hesitate is there's – again, like Frank was
– We're regulated. See, we can't call ourselves experts. Right. I can call someone. You guys can't. But I can't call myself an expert.
Right. So Jan has a vast knowledge in the Medicaid arena.
She has expertise in that area.
Expertise, maybe that's the key. So if you want to avail yourself of that wonderful opportunity of asking her a question, today's the day at 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Not that we won't answer other questions like the reverse mortgage question that Rick had.
Or the long-term care question that Rick also followed up with.
Yeah, we had a ton of questions
about that and the LTC. I'll write that down, too.
Yeah, there we go.
And
So does Rick get entered twice then in the pie drawing for the questions?
And actually, we'll have to look back. And is there a limit on how frequently you can win a pie, Jim?
I don't know if that is in the official KFKA rule book.
Well, I would suggest that since we're welcoming calls that we
once
not
a month?
Put any
Right.
Okay. Well, we only give one pie away a month, so technically Rick's fine. He can be entered again. He
didn't. I'm on Rick's side on this one.
You're on Rick's side?
Yeah.
If we gave away a pie
and we should
a day,
give a shout-out to Fat Albert's because they are wonderful, wonderful sponsors.
They are.
Have you ever had a Fat Albert's pie?
Oh, I have. And so they're your pie makers.
Yes, Sue from Fat Albert's offered to give our listeners one free pie every month.
Yep. I lived and worked in Greeley for about 8 years, and Fat Albert's is a long-standing institution in this community. So,
And the pies are fabulous.
They are quite good. I forgot to ask Rick what pie he chose. That's always
he did say he won one.
He did win one in the past.
Hopefully it was one of my recommendations.
So the way this works, maybe for new listeners, when you call in, not only do you get to ask us a question, which our answer may or may not be beneficial, the key is you get entered into the pie drawing. So once a month, we take all the live callers from usually two shows or maybe three during the month that we might have, and your name gets put into a hat. We draw it out of the hat figuratively.
And what we're not doing, need to point out, is the free mosquito spray. I think Mother Nature is kind of taking care of that.
Well, we can offer to rid their property of mosquitoes if they call.
Especially this time of year.
Well, but we were giving away a free certificate, but the certificate was only good for 2015.
I don't need to give them a certificate. I will just promise to them that if they call here, their mosquitoes will be eradicated by January 1st.
Okay. Very
That's
good.
That's a guarantee.
Going out on a limb there,
going
Chris.
Out on a limb
but next year. Now, what we need to do is find another company that wants to give our listeners something.
That's maybe winter related?
Because we had the movie theater, and then that went out of business. Now we had the mosquito company, and they're out of business, but not because they
failed.
No, they're not.
Don't say that.
Well, they don't spray in the winter. There's no mosquitoes.
No, they're
so they're temporarily on hiatus.
Maybe they get rid of other pests.
You know what I got to ask them? Give us coupons now with a 2016 expiration. We'll start mailing them out now so people can use them next year.
All right.
That's what we'll do. I never thought of that.
You should ask him.
I will.
By the way,
yes,
Rick chose key lime pie.
Oh, he called back. And
he
told
did
us.
Call back, and yes.
That was one of your favorites, as I recall.
Key lime is a very good pie.
It's his summer favorite. He's now into his fall favorite.
Which longtime listeners will know?
Pumpkin spice.
Peanut butter supreme. That's, very good.
I was just kidding. I wonder if she's jumped on the pumpkin spice bandwagon and does a pumpkin spice. Well, they do pumpkin pie there, so.
They do, and they do the pumpkin brittle. And I have to say, not a fan.
Streusel.
Pumpkin streusel. Because the streusel is more pecan than anything.
I agree. It was very nutty.
So I wasn't a fan of that. Not Sue. It's a wonderful pie, and I'm sure there are people out there. But I don't like nuts in my pie.
That was the wrong pie to order, though.
It was.
Yes.
It was. I thought the streusel would be like a cinnamon streusel on top of a coffee cake. And I thought, that would be very nice on a pumpkin pie. Well, the streusel is more pecan than anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I think pumpkin pie is wonderful.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there. So if you like pecan pumpkin, get the pumpkin streusel.
A lot of peas in that.
So 970-353-1310.
Oh, and then give it our email. Let me check the official iPad, see if anyone emails us.
And by the way, if they email a question in, are they eligible for
Leave a real name.
And, if we have their contact information so we can actually pull their real name out of the hat, then yes.
Okay.
If they just give us an anonymous or a George, then no.
Okay. But they can put George as their alias, and we will use George as their name.
Mm-hmm. No email, but we did get an email on Wednesday.
Oh, while we're waiting for another call, would you like to cover
that? Well, no, it was more of a comment than a question, but I'll read it just the same.
Was it a positive comment?
This one was.
That'll determine.
So I had a clue that might, because he's going to read it on the air.
It just said, new fan of the show. Mm-hmm. When will you be back on live or begin posting podcasts?
Well, we're live right now.
We're live right now, so there's that answer. As far as podcasts go, for iTunian listeners and the listeners off of the website as well, theretirementandiraShow.com, Pete has a ton of rules and regulations he has to follow. We as financial planners have to follow rules and regulations as well. And our big rule and regulation is what the SEC calls advertising. When we are doing this radio show live, there's no script. In fact, if anybody listens to the show, you can literally tell we have no idea what we're going to talk about. The government, the SEC, considers a live financial planning show to be a public appearance. Public appearances do not have to be pre-approved because it's a public appearance. We do not know what we're going to be asked. So there's no – we're not coming in here with any agenda. However, when we record a show and now want to take that same show, which was just live – and let you listen to it whenever you want off the internet, now the government says that's an advertisement. And when it's an advertisement, a compliance official has to listen to it to make sure we didn't say anything we weren't supposed to say when the show was live. Because when it's live, there's no – you can't hear it anymore. It's just gone. The sound just dissipates and that's it. But when you can listen to it whenever you want, they need to make sure we didn't say anything taboo. So that is the delay. That's the huge delay because compliance is very – and she's listening now. Her name is Shauna. Hi, everybody say hi, Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
And she's wonderful. But
didn't we have a – now I'm confused Shauna. About her name. Are you sure it's Shauna?
Oh, if Shauna, if you're not Shauna – is it Shayna? Ah, oh, damn. Now she's going to be mad.
or I'm in trouble because I was wrong.
Well, it begins with an S. Whoever she is, wonderful woman whose name begins with an S.
I'll never forget what's her name.
She was wonderful.
Yes.
But she's swamped. Careful. She gets very busy. She likes our show, though. She said she enjoys listening to it. And, of course, it would be nice if I remember her name. It begins with an S.
And an H. I do know that.
I think it's Shayna. You think it's Shauna?
No, you said Shauna.
Oh, I said Shauna.
Yeah, I think it's Shayna.
My advice would be let's move on. You're in enough trouble already.
Yeah, we're digging the hole here.
If this show gets rejected, we know why.
Right. Exactly.
But anyways, that's the delay, people. So for you iTunian listeners, I know you like to see it updated right away. We have to wait for it to get through compliance so compliance can say, okay, put it on the web, and we can satisfy SEC requirements because we don't want to tick off the U.S. government.
Right. So why don't we let Jan have an opportunity to give out her contact information. Since she's only here infrequently, maybe she'll become a more regular part of the show. But this is her first visit with us live. So how would someone get a hold of you if they have some Medicaid or VA or any of those related questions?
Well, thanks. My office is in Berthoud and located just in the Adams Bank building at 1201 Lake Avenue. So we welcome a stop by if you'd like, but probably more convenient is a phone call, and the phone number is 970-532-4183. We also have a website, the www, of course, cjlordlaw.com.
And Lord is spelled?
L-O-R-D is in David.
Well, the conventional way. So, and David was a good choice for that.
Yeah.
No E on the Lord.
No E on the Lord. Okay. No.
I'm expecting a sermon now.
Well, don't get me started. It runs in my blood.
Yes, I know.
So, excellent. We'll give that phone number one more time.
Sure. It's 970-532-4183.
Yeah. And just like any visitor or regular participant in this show, we'll always connect you with them if you contact us via Jim's website, which would be jimhelps.com. So Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. There's a contact us button on there. You can send us a quick message and we will hook you up with anybody or anything that we've talked about on the show here. So that is always a portal if you maybe misplace or can't remember, or you're driving, can't write down Jan's phone number. jimhelps.com would be the way to go. So,
excellent.
Jim, what would you like to chat about until we – or should we beg one more time for a call?
I think it's not beneath us to keep begging.
No. It's worked in the past. So
it has.
Please call us. We enjoy talking to you. The number is 970-353-1310. We do have time for probably one more caller.
Oh, Jim at Jim Helps. We'll do that.
Top of the break here. So 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Just calling and engaging with us, asking us a question on topic. We'll get you entered into the pie drawing for this month. We'll do that drawing, I believe, on Halloween. That is
yes,
our
that's our next live.
That's the last live show of the month on October 31st. So you'll have to wait a little bit to.
And I believe our song rotation is going to be the top three Halloween themed songs.
In 1935, 1975.
I don't think we'll find one from 1935.
Oh, I think you might be surprised.
A Halloween's
been going
song?
On for a very long time.
I don't, well, okay. If we can, it's going to be from 1935 on.
Might be.
But as long
surprised.
As the theme from the Munsters play. I like that.
Oh, that's a requirement?
Yes.
Okay,
theme
from the I should Munsters. Be able to get that one. Thanks for that.
We can get that one.
And the Addams Family.
The Addams Family, too. Yes.
There's two, so we're good.
We're all set.
Not listen, Monster Mash.
Listen on Halloween, thriller, and you can hear music from 1960s sitcoms.
That are monster-related or
well, I guess nowadays
dark.
We'd have to play the theme from The Walking Dead as the third one. Is there even a theme?
There is, but there's no words. Mm. But it's a very recognizable theme for those.
Well, there's no words
the
in the Munster theme.
There might be, actually.
No, not in the Munsters. There is in the Addams Family.
In the Addams Family, but there's a lot of times, even though you don't ever hear them, there were words written to some of those songs.
Oh.
So, well, I can't guarantee it, but there might actually be words somewhere.
Okay, well, that will be on Halloween. So that's the next time we're live. And again, anybody want to send us an email if you don't want to talk on the radio, it's Jim at jimhelps.com. Jim at jimhelps.com. And we'll be more than happy to answer your questions that way. Why don't we get into then a little on that Social Security question that you were asking earlier?
Yes, I'm not sure that it was a client that Jan and I have been working with and met with, and we encouraged them to call the show since we didn't know the answer. But as I recall, and Jan chime in with any details I'm overlooking or misstating, but this particular client has been employed in the private sector and also is under para, as is his wife. And he was asking initially about how those two worked, and he had if he waits until age 70 to take Social Security, what impact would that have on his Social Security and para? But he said really the point of the question was for his wife, if he dies first, he was asking what impact or how would that work with survivor benefits for his wife following his death. Is that –
Yeah, and I wasn't clear if he was planning on working until 70 in order to get his 30 years
45,
or
mm-hmm. Yeah,
or what
yeah,
exactly.
So there's
was
a few moving parts there. Those who've listened to the show, we do talk about WEP fairly frequently, the windfall elimination provision, because that affects quite a number of people who work in a job, usually a government-related job, where they have an alternative to the Social Security system. Para is one example of that, where instead of paying into Social Security, the employer, the government, and you pay into this alternative system. And then some people work in the private sector and generate some Social Security retirement benefit as well. They have a special adjustment that we don't have enough time before the break to go through all the details, but the basic takeaway is that your Social Security might be reduced because of your government-style pension that was not – that you earned while not participating those years in Social Security. If you have enough Social Security participation years, and they have to be what are called substantial earnings, and 30 is the magic number, Pete, okay. You mentioned. So by the time he's reached 70, if he's got enough private sector years of substantial Social Security earnings, just to give you an idea of what that would mean, in 2015, substantial earnings for this test is about $21,000. So it's not a large amount, but it's much higher than the minimum to qualify for Social Security. If you get 30 of those, the WEP goes away. So you can have para and your full Social Security benefit and not worry about WEP if you have enough years of Social Security participation.
Of substantial earnings.
Substantial earnings.
That's the key. It's not mm-hmm. just having a job, Pete, for 30 right. years that you paid in Social Security. You have to have earned substantial earnings. So for all of our para listeners, if you have a job off to the side, go to Social Security's website and in the little search box, just type substantial earnings. Mm-hmm. And they will pop up a little graph and chart for you to show every year how much you would have to have earned every year for it to be substantial earnings.
And by the way, that brochure has been corrected.
The one that you found the mistake
in? Yeah, the brochure that they had on their website had an error in it that we reported about 60 days ago. And I noticed 2 weeks ago that that PDF finally got updated.
And you haven't noticed any Doc Black Ford?
I haven't yet noticed anyone following me, nor any strange activity in my bank statement or anything like that.
So the government wasn't mad that you pointed out that they were wrong.
Keep bringing it up, and I'm sure they're going to find me.
We're going to walk out, and some drone's going to come down and zap you.
So I think we need to talk about this in a little more detail. We're getting up towards the break here. So why don't we come back to this? If we have a call, we'll certainly take that.
Yeah,
so
we'll push you to the top of the line.
Right. So we'll come back and kind of expand on this issue because there's not only a WEP issue, but a GPO issue for his wife.
Exactly.
So we'll talk
That's
about
what he was
that
worried
as well.
About.
So after this break, we're going to hear not from 1935, but rather from 1975, the number one song this week from 1975. And the reason we look at 1975 is that was 40 years ago. And in the official way that your Social Security benefit is calculated, there's a reference to 40 elapsed years. So we're lapsing back or looking back 40 years to take a look at the top song from then. And the hint is this song from 1975 features uncredited backup vocals by Elton John.
Oh, really?
So he's in the background but not credited on the official on the album, I guess, at that time. So we'll find out who that is when we come back. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. If you'd like to call in over the break and wait for us to come back, that would be great. Our phone number here at the studio live is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310 if you're outside of the listening area. So hopefully you've got some burning question we can get to. Otherwise, we'll talk a little bit more about how WEP and GPO might affect the person that we're referring to. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back right after this short break. The Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from 40 years ago this week in America.
I didn't hear Elton.
Well, not yet.
Oh.
The backup singers haven't started.
Well, that's kind of what I was listening for. Sounds like Neil Sedaka, though.
It is Neil Sedaka.
But I don't think I've ever heard
Very nice.
Song.
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So Elton John's in this?
Yes, he is.
Where?
He and Neil
uncredited
were tight.
Backup vocals.
But
so
where? Agent, keep playing to... Well, make it loud when Elton starts singing.
He didn't. He's probably never heard this song before.
There you go. You got your backup now.
That's it.
Maybe he's playing the flute. That's Elton right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No, the flute player would be Jethro Tull.
Didn't. Well, uncredited as well, apparently, because there's no listing on here. So the number one song for this week was Bad Blood from Neil Sedaka. Sedaka signed to Elton John's Rocket Record Company label in hopes of rekindling his career in the U.S., which had declined in the 1960s with popular group acts like the Beatles. Ah. Bad Blood became Sedaka's most successful individual commercial release.
Really?
In the U.S.
Wow, I've never even heard that song.
Really? I had heard it. It's not a... When I think of listing songs from back then, I wouldn't have just come up with that, but I had...
Well, I was a junior in high school. I'd heard it a lot.
Oh, you guys were on the cutting edge. That was beyond my prime.
He was washing dishes
in New York.
No.
It was in Massachusetts. Perhaps have you heard of that state?
Yes, I have heard of that. Very fine state, which I was at just recently, by the way.
In Chatham, Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Been there many times.
At Pate's Barbecue Pit.
Never been there.
They do barbecue in Massachusetts?
No, actually, they did prime rib. It was quite good, and lobster. And
got to throw the lobster.
That's a good combination right there.
Why they call it a barbecue pit was beyond me. They didn't know barbecue from lobster.
No, but we knew lobster.
Oh, yeah. They would be
in fact, when I was home last week, I had seafood again, as I always do, every day.
Yeah,
I would think.
And when I was at the FPA conference, in Boston went to Legal Seafood, Legal Hobbicide, for those iTuners listening to us. It wasn't
iTunians.
Legal. iTunians. Legal Hobbicide, which is right on the harbor. And had their chowder every night. It was very good. Mm-hmm. Had some of their seafood stew and then swordfish.
Is that right by Faneuil Hall?
No. Well, it's kind not close, right by.
But it's in the vicinity.
In the neighborhood.
It's in Boston.
Well, there's water not that far from there, isn't there?
Not the harbor part where I was at. But I wouldn't want to walk it, to put it that way, on a cold Boston day.
Was it cold when you were there?
It was a little chilly at night because of the humidity in the water.
Well, it's very high humidity in the
water. About 100%.
Yeah, very high humidity.
Well, I mean, in the air, it gets into your bones. It gets chilly.
Yes.
But it was nice to be in Boston. Had a good time. Was at the FPA convention. Have a lot of things that will go on other shows, pre-recorded shows, items that were discussed at the FPA conference. Lot on health expenses, health care expenses were some of the big driving topics of discussion there, and how most advisors are not properly planning for their clients' health care expenses.
Speaking of that, this is the exciting month where we should, by the end of the month, finally hear what's going to happen with Medicare premiums for 2016. There's a lot of noise happening there about what's going to happen. It's kind of a trickle-down effect. Once we hear what the COLA adjustment for Social Security is,
which is supposed to be zero.
It's expected to be zero. We won't know for sure until late this month, towards the end of October. And then from that, we're also in the same time frame going to start to hear about what is going to be the final decision on Medicare premium increases, which if there's a no COLA adjustment to Social Security, everyone that is currently claiming Social Security and having Medicare premiums withheld from their check and are not part of the higher premiums because of higher earnings category, you are protected from increases in Medicare premiums. And so that's going to cause this weird effect that about 30% of Medicare premium payers are going to have to absorb the entire premium increase for 2016 because of this large group that are going to be under the hold harmless provision. So there's all these weird, you know, culmination of events happening here that are going to possibly cause people's Medicare premiums, a small group of people, well, it's not that small,
30% of recipients,
to go up substantially. And they're talking about on the magnitude of $50 or $60 a month.
Well, 53% increase.
That's what I heard about, was 50%.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's 105.
Have some seniors already received in their mailbox notices that their prescription benefit is increasing, the cost of their prescription, Medicare prescription benefit?
Part D
is
also going up. Part D is supposed to be going up. Part of what I found very interesting, and Part D is the prescription.
Correct.
But part of what I found very interesting, and then I confirmed this with you, Chris, is, you know, we have talked on previous shows. If you listen a couple of episodes back, we address hold harmless provision. We address this no COLA to Social Security, but a massive increase in Medicare premiums, and why about 70% of you won't even see a premium increase. But what was pointed out to us at the conference was, yes, next year, because of the way the rule works, you will not lose any Social Security benefits. So you won't see your Social Security go down. And therefore, because your Medicare premiums are held directly from Social Security, you won't have to pay the higher Medicare premiums next year. Why is that? Again, no COLA adjustment. So if Social Security is not going up, but Medicare is, under hold harmless, they're not going to make you pay the higher premiums because they can't lower your Medicare Social Security benefit. And that sounds great at first. You're thinking, wow, that's wonderful. I don't have to pay the higher premium. Someone else is, the evil rich people. They're going to pay it. But then something I didn't know until I went to this class was explained to us. What happens in 2017? And Chris is smiling. So for all you people who think you dodged the bullet, here comes the best Orwellian logic I have heard in a very long time. So in 2017, here's what happens. You didn't get a premium increase in 2016. Those of you on Social Security, because you won't get any cost of living adjustment – In other words, your Social Security is not going higher. They are not going to make you pay the higher Medicare premiums, because if they did, your Social Security benefit is going down.
Your net check, your net deposit would go down. The hold harmless is meant to prevent that.
So that's why the 30% of the people who aren't in hold harmless provisions, and we could talk on another show who those unlucky 30% are, those 30% have to bear the whole brunt. So the premium for them is going really high next year. Then 2017 rolls around, and it's projected in 2017. Now, let's just use round numbers because we don't know what the actual dollar amounts are going to be. Right now, what is it, about $105 a month, Chris?
$104.90.
Okay, $104.90, we'll call it $105, a little easier to say. So right now, you're paying about $105.
It's for Medicare. Part B premiums.
Part B. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's expected to be about $159.
For just the 30%.
For just those 30%.
The 70% still pay 105.
Correct. Now, 2017 rolls around. Premiums are expected to be 135.
For everyone.
Right. Now, here, you see, you're stealing my thunder.
Because you go so slow.
I'm walking them through this. So now you're going, Pete, from 159 to 135. Is that an increase or a decrease?
I don't know. My math says it's a decrease.
That sounds like a decrease. Mm-hmm. However, 70% of the population is still paying 105, correct? Mm-hmm. When you go from 105 to 135, is that an increase or a decrease?
Well, that's a different question.
Because in the eyes of the government, that was a decrease.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. So let me understand. If I have my income tax goes down, I'm paying more.
It's Orwellian. Here's what's going to happen in
1935.
No.
See. Wow. Now we're.
Was that short-term memory or is it long-term?
Here's what's going to happen in 2017.
Is Carrier listening?
I was thinking music, 1935. Okay. Here's what's going to happen in 2017. It is expected that the Medicare premiums are going to go from 159 to 135. So for that 30% of the population who gets nailed with this massive increase, their premiums are going down. Now, in the eyes of the government, when a premium on Medicare is going down, even if it results in a higher premium for you, hold harmless does not apply. Hold harmless only applies if premiums go up. But they're not going up. They're going down. But you're going to say, Pete, well, no, they're going up. I'm paying 105. Now I have to pay 135. And the government's going to say, no, Pete, you're missing the point. It's 159 and now it's 135. So it's actually going down for you. And you're going to say, no, it's going up for me because I'm only paying 105
now. For that 70%, the only way that theirs are going to go to 135 is if, in fact, there's a Social Security COLA that year.
There has to be a COLA that
year. If there's still no COLA, they will still be
protected. Held harmless. Yes.
And the 30% will still bear the brunt. And for them, it's going to go from 159, it's not going to go down for them then, if that's the case. So this happened already.
Right.
We've already seen this happen one time just a few years ago in 2010 and 2011 when there was no COLA. And then in 2012, so we had this small group of people whose premiums went up. Most people stayed the same. And then in 2012, those people went down. Their premiums went down
and everyone else went up
a little bit, so everyone became equalized again at 105. There was a time, remember, Jim, where the Medicare Part B premiums for new people applying in 2011 were 110. And there was a bunch of people still paying
96. Yeah, it was like 96.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then 2012 rolls around and things equalize again, and it equalized at the 105 level. So there was a group that went down from 110 to 105, others that went up to 105. Same thing is going to happen here in either 2017 or 2018. This is a one-year glitch, essentially.
Exactly. What we're trying to explain is just because you don't see a premium increase next year, you are not going to escape it. It is going to hit you as soon as they throw a COLA into Social Security. So your benefits really don't go up.
You mean your premiums?
Your Social Security benefits. When you get your next COLA, it will be eaten by the Medicare premium increase that hasn't applied to you yet.
I see.
And that's what we're trying to get our listeners to know. Just because you're not going to get it next year, 70% of the people next year won't get the premium increase, you're going to get nailed on it as soon as there's a COLA adjustment. As soon as Social Security starts paying a 2.5% adjustment or a 3% adjustment, whatever it is in the future in 1 year, boom, gone. That will go to cover the premium increase to Medicare that hasn't applied to you
yet. And it's
yet.
It's not a retroactive thing, though. So when you avoid it in 2016.
You avoided it for that
you
year.
You avoid it forever. That amount you saved is yours
right.
to keep in your pocket forever. They don't retroactively. It's not like in 2017 they're looking back and saying, okay,
well,
now
no, because
we're
they made the other 30% pay it.
Exactly. So it's been paid already.
Right.
2017 is a brand new year with brand new revenue projections and expense projections, and that's where they set the premium.
But basically, if there's a COLA adjustment in Social Security, their benefits would not – I'm sorry, their benefit would not go down, but any increase due to COLA would
go to the Medicare premium.
Okay. May not be eaten up completely by that.
Right. And it's dollars, not percents. So they look at the Medicare dollar increase, and then they'll look at the overall dollar increase you're going to get. You might get a 2.5% COLA adjustment to Social Security, but a 6% increase in Medicare premiums. But what they look at is the actual dollars. Well, 2.5% of your Social Security benefit, which could be $20,000 or $30,000 a year, is a pretty good-sized dollar amount. A 6% increase on a 110% premium is a much smaller dollar amount. So they look at the actual dollars, not percents, and that's what they will do. And as Chris said, those people who escaped the premium increase next year escaped it for that year because the bill was sent to the other 30%. That's why their premiums will go down. Yours will go up. So when COLA adjustments happen in the future because of this massive premium increase in Medicare next year, you're going to see a lot of retirees not really see any new spending power to their dollars because it's all going to go to Medicare premiums. And that's what they were trying to drill into our heads at the FPA conference. Those of you who are factoring and hoping that you're going to get more Social Security to keep pace with every other expense that's going up, it's going to be eaten by your Medicare premiums because of this glitch of no COLA adjustment. And that's the third no COLA adjustment in the past 7 years.
Yep.
0-0-0 in 7 years time yeah. frame.
And maybe it won't be zero. It's
we don't
looking,
know.
The official announcement has not yet been made.
Yeah, but they the sent that trial balloon out yeah, there.
They floated it.
Yeah, you don't float yeah. that kind of lead balloon and then come back and say, ha-ha, fake out, here's a 5% increase. It's going to be close to zero.
Yep. So, Peter, did we get an answer for our client about his wife?
Oh, the wife, yes.
Right. So back to the question before the break, was we had a person that had both para and private work where they generated a Social Security benefit. And that scenario can result for a lot of people in what's called a WEP adjustment, a windfall elimination provision adjustment. For this particular person in our example, they were expected to have 30 years of substantial earnings in the Social Security system, which is the threshold that you meet to eliminate any effect of the WEP on your Social Security benefit. So for him in our example, it sounds like if things work out as planned, he works to 70, generating 30 years of substantial Social Security earnings. He doesn't have to worry about WEP. His wife, however, who you said also had PARA,
right.
which is a state of Colorado government pension system that is a substitute for Social Security, she has the right to a survivor benefit on his Social Security record. But she, having earned her own PARA benefit, is exposed to what's called the GPO. The government pension offset, which is for spousal and survivor benefits. So I believe as part of his question is she going to be exposed to some issue here for receiving his survivor benefit if he predeceases her?
Under Social Security.
Under
right?
Social Security. And the answer is yes, absolutely. She is going to be exposed to a reduction of
two-thirds,
$2 for every $3 of his survivor benefit that would normally go to her if she has this para pension of her own.
But two-thirds reduction of her para benefit. Mm-hmm. So let's say she's collecting $3,000 a month in para. They will reduce her survivor benefit under Social Security by two-thirds of that, or $2,000. So if the survivor benefit was $1,000, she wouldn't get anything. If it was $2,000, in my example, she wouldn't get anything. If it was $2,100, she'd get $100.
I see. From the Social Security part.
Right.
And people might think, well, gee, that's drastic and unfair. He's got this benefit. Well, that would just go away. But you have to recall that if they both had Social Security, if he predeceases her, she doesn't get to keep both. She only gets one or the other. She gets the highest of what's remaining. Under this scenario, she actually has the possibility of keeping a third of his, or a third of the calculation. So it's actually not as harsh as if you had two Social Security participants. So at first it seems like, wow, two-thirds, that's a huge reduction. It is, but it's less than three-thirds, right? It's a better situation than wiping it out completely.
Yeah.
So there's no amount of work you can do to eliminate the exposure to the GPO.
And what's unique with GPO, and again, I can't say I like it. It was passed in 83. Greenspan, when he was on the Social Security Task Force back then, was one of the proponents. Ronald Reagan signed it into law. GPO and WEP were not part of the original Social Security. As Chris alluded to, they essentially were saying it's not fair. It's not fair that somebody with a government pension can also keep 100% of the Social Security benefit of their deceased spouse. But if that spouse didn't have a government pension, if that spouse actually paid into Social Security like everyone else and had Social Security as their pension, they wouldn't be able to keep both. That's not fair. So you can argue the point back and forth. Everything in politics and society today is supposed to be about fairness. So whether or not that's fair, I don't know. That was their take on it. But unique is the calculation, Chris, is done every year. They're supposed to analyze GPO every year and look to see if two-thirds of your current pension would remove all of the Social Security benefit or not. Because some government pensions don't go up as fast as Social Security may be going up, and at some point in time, two-thirds
go up more.
Or go up more.
Yeah.
And two-thirds either wipes out all of it later or doesn't wipe out some of it later. CBO came out with a study this year that was quite telling. They released it in the summer, and they found out of the 110,000 or so recipients subject to GPO, the government doesn't have software to do it. So they have Social Security workers whose sole job is supposed to look at all 110 pensions every year, I guess do the calculation on a calculator in front of them, and figure out if this person is entitled to more or less. And wouldn't you know, they found that they're not doing it.
Really?
Really.
Huh. Who would have thought?
Get out of town.
No, I'm not lying. So they came out with a study that says – they admitted, they said, hey, we found 83,000 were not adjusted, but only 13,000 or 1,300 should have had more money. The rest were okay. And you're scratching your head, really? Out of 110, 83,000 were never looked at, and out of that, only 1,300 were entitled to more money. So the point of that release was they're supposed to readjust it every year, but they're not because they never updated their computer system.
They don't have the manpower to do it.
To program it, to do it automatically. And apparently Social Security workers aren't doing it.
Oh, well, I'm from the government. And
we're here to help.
Yes.
Well, trust me, we're here to help.
And we're watching this for you.
Yeah. Don't worry. We got it under control. And we'll get to it one of these days.
And one other good thing, we're going to have a guest hopefully from Social Security on, aren't we?
We're working on that, actually.
Yes.
We've got I've made initial contact with
Hope
someone
they don't listen to our
Social
old shows.
Security and ask them to come on the show to answer any technical questions. You know, a lot of what we talk about are how the rules work, but what we haven't done is lived inside the Social Security office to know when you go in there exactly what questions are you going to be asked, what they're going to make you do first, what's the right paperwork to fill out, who's the person to talk to, all those kinds of mechanical details, I'll call them. And we're hoping to get somebody from Social Security in here live that can talk to us about those sorts of things.
Were, Social Security Administration was at the FPA convention, so I stopped and talked to them. And wouldn't you know, I had no clue. They said, oh, yeah, we have speakers who will come talk for you on your show. So Chris has reached out to them. They got back a hold of us. And We hopefully will get one of those people on the show. They don't work Saturdays, so I don't think they'll be live, but they'll be recorded.
Well, frankly, some dedicated government folks will work on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I've had the pleasure, and in particular, I told you before, I was with the also do some work for veterans, and we've got some very dedicated folks who make public appearances and speeches and such on their day off.
Oh, maybe the Social Security person will do that.
So she hasn't told me no yet.
On Saturday?
Pressure on her.
Right.
Oh, you asked her for Saturday?
You're saying it like we know the answer to this, Jim, so I'm just clarifying. We don't know if she can come in on a Saturday.
I'm just telling you what they told me.
Okay.
Now, if we can get her here on Saturday, we'll buy her a coffee.
Maybe so. We'll see.
Because, I mean, the listeners are just calling like flies on water or whatever that saying is.
Flies on water?
I don't know.
Well, so a trout's about to come up? By the way, my I should learn the name of it so I can pitch it, but my wife and a couple of daughters are doing this cool activity on Wednesday evenings where it's supposed to encourage young people to go outdoors and do things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's called Colorado Youth Outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
And so my wife goes every Wednesday to this spot that's outside of Fort Collins, and they do things like fishing or archery or target practice or outdoor Colorado-type activities. And they're teaching them to fly fish. And they were fly fishing on Wednesday and caught 7 or 8 fish out there. And
yeah.
That's
Colorado Youth
exciting.
Outdoors. They mm-hmm. have their whole facility out there,
yeah.
and it's a wonderful charitable
yeah, she's
organization.
She's really, really enjoying it, and the kids love it. And I think that it's turned out to be really. I'm glad I stumbled across that program because it's pretty nice.
Yeah,
good.
It's a very nice facility too.
Well, why don't we give our contact info, mm-hmm. Pete? How can listeners get a hold of you if somebody wants to chat with you? Like that Frank gentleman we told.
Yeah.
He's been waiting for your phone.
How come you didn't ask me earlier?
Hoping to shut the radio off.
So our Greeley, we have offices in first of all, I'm with the law firm of Cohen, Payton & Payne, and we have Greeley office. The phone number there is 970-339-3500, 970-339-3500. We also have offices in Fort Collins and Greeley. And you can reach me also on the web at peterscotthelps.com. That's Peter Scott, SCOTTHELPS.com. And we have a get acquainted meeting and no charge, no obligation to find out what the issue might be and if we can help. And a lot of times we're able to let them know what that might cost at that time. So we welcome those calls and love to answer questions for folks.
And Jan, one more time, if somebody has questions on Medicaid eligibility, how to take care of an elderly parent who may need the help, or any veterans who are wondering about their benefits and how their benefits can help pay for long-term care, if anybody has any questions like that, how can they reach you?
I can be reached at 970-532-4183. That's in Berthoud. Law office is in Berthoud, just inside the front door of the Adams Bank. I might pass along if it's okay. I deal strictly with the veterans pension benefit, but we're very lucky in our area to have some, as I said a moment ago, very dedicated people who are veterans themselves working for the as veteran service officers for the county governments. And if I could give that information real quickly, a real hats off to Debbie Pearson and her staff. She is the veteran service officer for Larimer County. And she can answer just about – she and her staff, long time in this position, very, very knowledgeable. This is a free service available to veterans. And Debbie, her office is on West Oak Street in Fort Collins. Her phone number is 970-498-7390. That's 498-7390. We also have a veteran service officer here in Weld County. And the number also a real helpful guy. I've gotten some real good reviews on the work he's done. And his number, their number there is 970-336-7218. And then I also have the number for the VSO, the Veteran Service Officer in Boulder County. Her office is in Longmont, a very good friend of mine, wonderful colleague, and her name is Karen Townsend. The phone number over in her Longmont office is 303-776-8502. Again, these folks provide quality, accurate information about all types of veterans' benefits. And I'd encourage you to reach out to them. My area of, I guess, specialty would be with the pension benefit, which often is it can be a complement to the Medicaid long-term care benefit. I will note that the VA has just recently proposed changes to the eligibility rules for the VA pension benefit. A lot of confusion about when these actual proposed rules will go into effect, if ever. But what I can tell you is they are drastic. So if we have a veteran or the widow or widower of a veteran who has served one day of active duty during a wartime and is incurring unreimbursed medical expenses, then we should be exploring eligibility for the VA benefit now, while the eligibility rules are not as strict as they will be when these proposed changes go into effect. And the real losers under those changes are the widows or the widowers of the qualifying veteran. There'll be a penalty period under the new VA proposed regs where now for having disposed of assets, giving away assets. Under the new rules, there'll be a penalty period. Right now, there is not. So if this has been kind of on your mind, on your to-do list, if there's a possibility that we might be paying for in-home care or assisted living type expenses for a veteran or the widow of a veteran, please look into this now because the qualification criteria are going to get harder.
Okay. Well, we need to head to our last break here. Before we do that, I want to mention that we technically only have one PIE entrant, Rick, because Frank, who called in from Storm Mountain, didn't leave his contact info.
Oh.
So we can't put him in the PIE drawing if we have no way of getting
a
hold of him.
We have to be able to reach Frank.
To deliver the PIE.
So, Frank, if you're listening, call back with your contact
info. You don't have to get on the radio, but Adrian can take your contact info. We're not going to pester you unless you win the PIE, and then we're going to contact you and let you know how.
Right, because we have to send them a coupon.
Exactly.
Because in the past, people would lie and go in and say they were the winners.
Well, those pies are so attractive that people do anything.
Black market pie.
Exactly. So when we come back to from this next break, we're going to hear the number one song from 35 years ago this week in connection to the 35 computation years that go into your Social Security retirement benefit. The hint, this is a great one. I actually love this hint. Next up, after this break, a song that's been used in medical studies to train medical professionals how to provide CPR correctly.
Hmm.
So we'll find out what song
Staying
that is.
Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
I like the way you think, but no. So we'll be back right after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from 35 years ago this week. Very recognizable tune.
Sure. Recognizable and kind of ironic
When one bites the dust, they apply CPR.
That's not the way. That's not the reason they use that.
It's a little backwards.
Yeah. I think "Staying Alive" would have been a better song.
That's what you yell in their ear. Staying at number one this week, of course. That's another one, "Bites the Dust" by Queen. Number one song last week as well. The beat of this song matched the tempo needed to administer the correct number of chest compressions per minute while performing CPR. So they would play this during the training process.
And then they'd hum along while they were applying it.
I am amazed at what I learn. I have learned from you guys. This is just – I am amazed and
This isn't really a retirement. It's more of a variety show.
Yes.
Educational in format.
And for those who don't know why we do the top songs 80 years ago, 40 years ago, and 35 years ago, all of those numbers tie to Social Security. And we do that because Chris and I host a blog, a weekly blog called HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. It is a written blog and an audio blog. You can hear, and lately it's been mostly Chris doing it, so I got to give him kudos for stepping up. But when we originally started, almost a little over a year ago, both of us were doing it. But it is a blog where we opine and give a little bit of information. Brief little blog posts, about 5 to 10 minutes long is the audio, and about 5 to 8 paragraphs is the text. And you simply go to helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and learn a new tip, trick, or strategy of Social Security claiming. And we do all this on the radio show to lead up to what's new on Help With My Social Security. So, Chris, what is new this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com? What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. We have a little giggle from Jan on Tom Jones.
Everybody loves Tom Jones. So this week, actually, we're doing a redo. It's been quite some time. We're covering a topic that we covered early on in the blog, but it's something that people...
So you had no idea what
confused.
To do, so you pulled an old one.
I was ill last week, so... So,
the guy has six kids. Give Julia, him a break.
And four chickens.
Julia was kind enough to recycle a topic
recycled
from
okay.
long ago.
So it's a best of.
For most people, they haven't seen it live. So, and it talks about, it's our discussion of what actually goes into your PIA, or your primary insurance amounts, which that PIA is important because that PIA is what all of your Social Security retirement-related benefits are derived from. That's the starting number. And that number represents the retirement benefit for which you are entitled at your full retirement age, your FRA. There's, you know, initialism out the wazoo with the government, of course, right? PIA, we don't call it PIA, so it's not an acronym.
Sometimes you say PIA.
I never say PIA.
I say PIA.
When?
Just now.
Like automatopoeia?
Automata who?
I know what that is.
I know.
Automatopoeia.
Buzz.
I never heard of automatopoeia.
Okay, but you say PIA.
Sometimes I'll say your PIA.
Well,
so that could be an initialism or an acronym.
Keep moving, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, move on.
We're sliding down the slope on this one. So we talk about what goes into that, how they calculate it, and it ties in really closely to Another One Bites the Dust, because that's the song, number one song from 35 years ago, and the key element of your PIA, they take first your 35 highest indexed monthly earnings years, or your highest indexed earnings years, your 35 best, we call
them.
There you go. And that goes into calculate your AIME. There's an acronym.
We say AIME all the time.
AIME, or Average Indexed Monthly Earnings Number. From that number, through an additional formula, we calculate your PIA, your primary insurance amount.
Or PIA.
Or never PIA. But, and that's how we get to that benefit that we know of as your full retirement age benefit. And then it can be increased through delaying. It can be decreased through claiming early. It sets your spousal benefit your spouse might be entitled to. It has to do – it relates to the survivor benefit for which your spouse might be entitled if you pass away. It's that number. That PIA is the key for everything.
For everything. So very, very important number in Social Security planning.
Yes. So that's what's new on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com.
Excellent. Looks like we have a caller as Adrian is vetting the caller. Okay, they're all set?
They're all set.
All right.
All ready to go. So we're going to go to Jim in Wellington. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for calling the show.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Very fine name you have there, Jim.
Yeah, that's right. The best name.
It is the best name.
What can we do for you this morning?
A quick question, you guys. My father passed away last week, and we're just kind of unexpectedly, you know. And so a question I would have on Social Security, my mom's on the understanding, and we haven't gone in yet. You know, I'm getting a death certificate next week. But she's maybe under the understanding that they will keep the larger of the two checks. Is that correct? Like continuing on?
That's essentially what happens. We describe it as that because that's the easiest way to illustrate what's going on. Technically, that's what they're going to do is give your mom her benefit and then provide to her any excess benefit above that that will make it equal his benefit if his were higher than hers.
Okay.
If hers was higher, then she just keeps hers. So
right.
The net effect is she will receive every month the highest of the two benefits in dollar amounts.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm very sorry to hear about your father from last
Thank
week.
You. Thank you.
The other thing that is related to this is people will wonder, how does Social Security find out that he's passed away? And that is normally done by the funeral home, actually, regularly
yep.
will send a document to the Social Security office, or your mom will have a death certificate, and that could be taken to the Social Security office. Even if that doesn't happen 95 times out of 100, they will have been notified by the funeral home or other kind of official entity that has a relationship with the Social Security office.
And Chris and Jim, I've had, and Jim the caller, I've mm-hmm. had some experience where deposits have been made during the month, and then there is a death. And then deposits are automatically retrieved out of a bank account by Social Security. What's your understanding of what's going on there?
Right. So that can happen unexpectedly. If they don't get notified quickly enough to shut off the payments, you are actually paid in arrears, meaning the check that would go in or the money that would be deposited this month in October is actually the benefit for which you had earned in September. It doesn't actually get deposited until October. So when if he passes in here, was it back in September that he passed?
Yeah, it was the 29th of
okay.
September. And then they got a deposit on the 1st, you know.
Right. I believe in the month of death, you are not entitled to a benefit that month. I would have to look this up exactly to be sure. But this does happen where people get an extra payment that they shouldn't have, and it might
okay.
go into a joint account. And you might think, well, it went in there, so it's ours to spend, when in fact they're going to turn around and suck that money back out because it technically shouldn't have been paid based on the date of death.
So, Jim,
okay.
be really so, careful
yeah,
there because
be careful.
What happened when my father passed away, like with your dad— he died at the very end of the month, and his Social Security check was always deposited at on the 1st or the 2nd of the month. And Social Security notified my mother by mail that there had been an overpayment, and being, you know, the good citizen that she is, she wrote them a check and sent it mm-hmm. back to them. And then Social Security took it automatically right out of their account.
Right.
It
okay.
took literally a call to a congressman's office in order
yeah.
to get that check refunded. So
okay.
take your time. Let it kind of let the dust settle as things get figured out. But they have the means by which to pay themselves back.
Right.
So
right.
Don't have your mom get scared and write them a check because she's worried
yeah.
that there's been an overpayment.
That's what we kind of understood. Our banker told us that they will take it. They will more than likely take it out, but just let it sit and wait for that to happen.
Yeah, that's the best approach.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. The funeral home did say they would notify, but I figured we would make an appointment. Just go down and. You know, if we can visit with them anyway. So.
That's a good idea because then they can explain to your mom exactly what the new benefit will be now and how that'll
yeah.
be deposited and those sorts of things.
Okay. All right. Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks for your show.
Sure. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Thanks.
So, yeah, Social Security-related question. Happens, you know, this sort of thing happens a lot. And because this is one reason why Jim and I do that blog specifically on Social Security, these events usually happen one time for you, for an individual. So it's hard to become an expert at how this works, having only you only experience once, and then once you learn the process, you really don't need to know it anymore because it's now passed for you.
The learning curve is straight up and backwards because there's a period of grief involved, and there's just a lot going on at a time when you know you're done at the not at the top of your game.
Right. So we try to arm people with the knowledge, hopefully just enough to watch out for themselves, make sure that what they're receiving, what's happening appears to be the correct situation, to know more what your options might be. Because a lot of times you aren't going to be proactively given these options. You have to ask for them. You have to be proactive on your end to say, no, I want to do this specifically because this eventually is going to be the better approach for me. And it might be something that was not brought up to you, say, in a face-to-face Social Security office meeting. So hopefully people gain some benefit from that
right.
blog.
So anyways, we're getting close. It's I think we have about 5 minutes
we
left.
We have 8 minutes
left. 8 minutes left. Mm-hmm. I do want to pass on that we are available, as is Peter and Jan. So if anybody out there has any IRA, para-retirement questions or anything in that realm or Social Security issues and questions, Chris and I are available for consultation. I offer in my office what is called a coffee and a second opinion. We have that little Keurig machine. We talk about Pete all the time. Yeah. When you come record, you're out there Keuriging away.
I am. A great selection.
We have a great selection. Yeah. We have a whole host, a plethora. We actually have pumpkin spice coffee now.
Wow. You know, I get hung up there and it takes me about 5 minutes to get past it.
I saw that the other day. I was like, ooh, wow, a pumpkin spice pod. So we have all sorts of different flavors and types of coffee. So you come on into the office. We give you a cup of coffee and we pretty much sit and chat. It's complimentary. The meeting lasts, usually an hour. So in gym time, that means you'll be out by noon if you get there by 8. But we do offer a complimentary visit. You sit and we chat. We see if there's any way that we can help you. We give you a little bit more advice. We can go into a lot more depth than we do on the radio, and people seem to enjoy that. And then we can help point you in the right direction and give you some clarity to your retirement, or if you're saving for retirement, into your strategies for planning for your retirement. But once again, we call that a coffee and a second opinion, and you can reach out to us at our office. Best way is if you're slightly techie, just go to our website, Jim Helps. That's Jim, HELPS.com. And it's pretty self-explanatory from there. There's a contact us button. You click that and everything is right there on how to schedule this coffee and a second opinion. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way and call us at the office. And that is 970-530-0556. And once more, Pete and Jan, how can people get a hold of you if they have any questions, especially Jan, with all that wonderful veteran information that you have?
I'm available at 970-532-4183. Office is in Berthoud and would welcome your call. The website, if you want a little bit of information about us, is cjlordlaw.com, cjlordlaw.com.
Very good. And this is Peter Scott. I'm with law firm of Cohen, Payton & Payne. In addition to estate planning, we do business succession, business transactions, real estate, intellectual property, those sorts of things, litigation, others do. I limit my practice to estate planning and business succession and transactions. And you can reach me at our Greeley number, which is 970-339-3500, 970-339-3500, or on the web at peterscotthelps.com. That's the name Peter, scotthelps.com. Or you can reach me through jimhelps.com.
That's right. You're on our website.
Yep. Jan, do you have – we have a few minutes left, maybe a little less than 5 minutes. Maybe anything last show and this show that we didn't touch on that might be just a, something for people to think about or consider with regards to where you specialize?
Well, I think the most critical thing for people to realize is that when you hear the term Medicaid, you hear about public benefits, that you think that you know, we have to have spent down all of our assets, that we are you know, really without any further means. And what often I hear when our clients approach us is that, gosh, I should have come in 5 years ago. If I had known about this 5 years ago, then we really could have done some effective planning. Because a lot of what we do that's very satisfying is that we help save assets off to the side and can accelerate eligibility for Medicaid and in folding in there that that VA benefit as well. So a person doesn't have to spend every dime they've worked very hard for on the nursing home bill and then qualify for Medicaid. That we can do some planning ahead of time that will help an individual accomplish their lifetime goals of being well cared for, hopefully in their home, and also leaving something for their kids, something for their heirs. So that's, you know, that's really the message I think needs to be gotten out there, together with the message to veterans who did not have a service-connected injury. These are folks who, as long as you've served one day of active duty during a wartime, and then we can help you figure out whether or not your days of service were during wartime. We've got some information on the website about how to go about doing that, that there is some money available to help offset the cost of long-term care. And, you know, in an assisted living facility, in a full-skilled nursing facility, they don't put a big red M on your forehead. I mean, the same kind of care is provided. So there's no, you know, these folks in their 70s, 80s, and 90s have contributed to this Medicaid-type plan through their taxes. And this is something that they should take advantage of if we can get them qualified.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure. So hopefully this has been a helpful show to people. We'll have another show next week. We got another crack at it if this one didn't fulfill all your needs. But this is the Retirement and IRA Show. Like Jen was alluding to, it's a lot of this is about making a plan. There are ways to improve your situation with some forethought and some planning, just like with retirement planning at Jim and I's office, estate planning. Mm-hmm. There's a reason where the word planning is in here. Making a plan can make all the difference in the world. So don't hesitate. Don't just sit there letting things happen to you. Take some action, and hopefully you can improve your own position with a little assistance some specialists in these areas. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. Thank you for joining us here on October 10th, 2015. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day in Colorado, but go forth and enjoy.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.